We do welcome you along to our midweek Bible study and prayer time. These are difficult times. We're meeting in our homes, but we trust that you'll meet around the Word of God with us and then follow on with prayer. Let us seek the Lord tonight. Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do pray tonight that you'd meet with us in our prayer meeting. We pray, O God, as we think about your word, that thou wilt, by thy Holy Spirit, open to us the sacred truths of thy word. We pray that, Lord, you would build us up in our holy faith. We pray that you would encourage us and that you would correct us too in the ways that sometimes we take which are wrong. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to imbibe thy truth and write thy word upon our heart tonight. And Father, we do pray that you'd meet with thy people in these days. These are days of great challenge for us all. We're cut off from fellowship with other believers in many instances. We're not able to congregate in the house of God as we formerly did. And Lord, we ask for help for thy church. And meet with the church family tonight, we pray, with thy people everywhere. And Lord, we pray that thy presence will be felt in our midst, that thou wilt do us good, that thou wilt set our mind and thoughts upon things eternal, and that thou wilt draw us closer to thy wounded side. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side. Lord, speak to our hearts even now from thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading tonight from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let us hear the word of God. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all this good, the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word. We're coming in our study of the survey of the New Testament to 2 Thessalonians. Dr. Alan Kearns, in writing about 2 Thessalonians, said this, and I quote, "The Thessalonians were being shaken out of their minds by foolish prophetic theories. Paul taught them a lesson of undying importance. A sane view of the subject of Christ's second coming will protect Christians from many dangerous delusions," unquote. And many, even today, my friends, are shaken in their minds in the very same way. It is vital for us to remain grounded in the Word of God, that we are not moved away
from the sure foundation of Scripture. Here we have a good church. And even these words that we have read tonight in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians would indicate how good this church was. They had displayed remarkable spiritual growth. They had a warm spiritual fellowship in a church marked by abounding love and overflowing zeal for the cause of Christ. They were actively evangelistic and boldly engaged in missionary outreach. And they stood courageously for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a word, the church at Thessalonica was one of the greatest success stories of the New Testament church. It was like a crown jewel, this church. And yet they were being disturbed by internal commotions, all because of these wild theories about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how often a good church is ruined. It is disturbed. It is divided by people coming in and promoting wild notions. Their own notions. Nothing biblically based, but that which would turn away people's ears from the truth and turn them onto fables. It can destroy a good church. And how we need to avoid that. Need to avoid division. We need to avoid discord over such matters as these. And we must ever stick to the truth, the plain truth of Scripture, not be turned aside by the imaginations of men. I want you to notice here some things in relation to this church and this epistle. First of all, the declaration concerning the Lord's return. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1 from which we've read. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And the promise of the Lord's return is absolutely clear and plain. As he came the first time, so he will come the second time. Just as literally and just as physically. We believe, you see, my friend, according to Scripture, in the visible, bodily, literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that is set forth in the Word of God. And the return of the Lord Jesus Christ affects both saints and sinners. To the child of God, it brings comfort. Notice again verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The believers at Thessalonica were deeply troubled with the great storm of persecution that broke upon them. And they continued to suffer bitter persecution. And to them Paul announced the significance of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God would give them rest at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. What rest the return of the Lord Jesus Christ brings to his believing people. The word rest used here signifies a relaxation, an easing, or a loosing of the cords of affliction that were so tightly drawn around them. The Lord would give them rest. Bring them to relaxation. He assured them that the saints would find a release from the afflictions of earth at the glorious revelation of Christ. You'll notice in verse 10 of chapter 1, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. To be glorified in his saints. That little word in there means by means of or through. You see, at his coming, Christ will show his glory through the instrumentality of his saints, or by means of what he does for his believing people. You think of 1 John chapter 3 for a moment. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And listen to the words of Scripture there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says this: Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, in other words, when the Lord shall come again, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We will be like the Lord. We will be like him. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Those wonderful words there toward the end of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verses 51 to 53. And listen to what it says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. What a change! For the believer in Christ, we shall be changed. We shall be changed. And then in Philippians, those wonderful words in Philippians chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul said this, Philippians 3 and the verse 21, the final verse of that chapter. Who shall change our vile body? Look at verse 20, you've got to get the connection. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for him. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for his return? Well, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Wonderful words again. This is what the Lord is going to do for his saints. This is what the Lord is going to do for his people. Isn't that wonderful? To be glorified in his saints. But then the word admired is used here. Again, going back to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. What does that mean? It means to be wondered at or marveled at. Saints will marvel. Sinners will marvel. Even the angels will marvel at the return of Christ. What a wonderful day that will be. For the Lord's people. Are you looking up? Are you looking towards his return? What comfort it brings to the child of God, to those who are truly saved. But on the other hand, in contrast, it brings to sinners condemnation. Look at verses 7 to 9 of the passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 7 to 9. It talks about to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And you know, there's a very powerful literal translation of these words here. The revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in a flame of fire, awarding vengeance on them that do not know God and on those that do not obey the glad tidings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such shall pay a penalty. Eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his strength. That's a literal sense of the words here. And what a serious and solemn message this is. Message of Christ's second coming for sinners. My friend, it is a serious thing to despise the gospel and think of those who are even yet and even now, presently, are despising the gospel, trampling underfoot the precious blood of Christ. Some in our families and among our friends and many in our communities and multitudes in our land and across the world. But what a serious thing it is. What condemnation the return of Christ will bring to those that reject his gospel, to those who refuse him as Savior. They will feel and know and experience everlasting condemnation. But then I want you to see, secondly, here tonight, not only the declaration concerning the Lord's return, but the deceptions about the Lord's return. You see, in Thessalonica, there were those engaged in such deception. Look at chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. What were these false teachers saying? These false teachers were saying that Jesus Christ was about to return. And we see here in this the mishandling of Scripture. A letter from us, as from us, Paul says. Some people were reading into Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians things that Paul had never intended. And so, this was happening. Another thing was not only the mishandling of Scripture, but erroneous preaching. Paul refers here to a word. A word. Claimed to have come from him. This was a pretended exposition of Paul's teaching. Beware of preaching that is more imposition on the text than exposition of it. So they're reading in to what Paul said more than actually what he said. Misinterpreting it. Erroneous preaching. And furthermore, these false teachers engaged in spirit communication. You'll notice what he says here again in verse 2 of chapter 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit. By spirit. A communication purporting to be a vision or a prophecy straight from heaven. And the danger of many who speak about the Lord's return is that they speak about it in words and using terms and meanings that are not set forth in the Word of God. Mishandling Scripture. Preaching that which is an error. And saying this is the Spirit of God. This is a vision straight from heaven that I have received. The Bible says, Isaiah 8 verse 20, if they speak not according to this word, the Scripture, it's because there is no light in them. We would save ourselves from many prophetic deceptions and delusions if we would stick to God's word, not get into the speculations and conjectures of men about it. I believe this. The Spirit has revealed this. But the bottom line, folks, is this. What does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? That's where we must draw the line. The deceptions about the Lord's return. But you'll notice, thirdly, the defense against all deceptions. And you'll see the order of these in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. First of all, there's apostasy. You'll notice what it says, let no man, verse 3, deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away or an apostasy. First, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Apostasy. An abandonment of the faith, of the truth of God's word. You see the order here. These things must happen before the Lord returns. And then Antichrist. First thing is apostasy, then Antichrist. Look at verse 3. Again, man of sin being revealed. Again, verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And so, we have not only apostasy, the manifestation of apostasy, but also the manifestation of Antichrist. and then the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We beseech you, brethren, verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. The Lord will not return until these first two have occurred, the apostasy and the manifestation and the full manifestation of Antichrist. And Paul gives us four divine commands here. Chapter 2, verse 15, to stand. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Don't be moved. Be steadfast. Stand fast in the liberty, Paul said, Galatians 5, 1. And here again he uses the term, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand. And then, chapter 3, verse 1, supplicate. Finally, brethren, pray for us. The word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray. Pray. And if we're not to be shifted, if we're not to be taken up with all of these deceptions that are abroad and are manifested even in our time, as it was in Paul's time and in the time of this church at Thessalonica, we are to seek the face of God and to call upon the Lord's name. And then we're to separate. Chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after a tradition which he received of us. There are those that we are to separate from, those who would cause confusion, those who would bring in false notions, those who would divide the church and sow discord in the church, we are to separate from them. And then we're to serve. Chapter 3, verse 13. Notice the words. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. The Lord would have us to engage in service. And he didn't want this church to be shifted. He didn't want this church to be moved from the foundation of truth. And the good work that was going on in this church, he wanted that work to continue, and he wanted these people to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not weary in well-doing. And how easy it is to get weary in well-doing. Even in these challenging times in which we live. And people are coming off with all sorts of theories around us, and you're looking at the internet, and maybe you're looking at the news, and you're listening to all the conspirators that are coming out with the conspiracy theories, and people are talking to you and texting you and messaging you and all of these things. Don't be shifted, my friend. Don't be turned aside. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep at the work. The work of God has to go on. The cause of Christ has to continue. The gospel has to still go out. The message of God's word has to be still proclaimed. And the summary of these is found in chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord direct your hearts. What does that mean? I thought about that. It means literally guide our hearts in a straight line. Guide our hearts in a straight line. Now, we need to, in the Christian life, keep on a straight line. There are people who would want us to go off the straight line, onto a crooked path, and say, well, we'll go onto this path, we'll look round this corner and the other corner, and that always brings uncertainties and always brings confusion. It always brings disorder. But you keep on a straight line. You can see exactly what's ahead of you. Unto the patient waiting for Christ. That's what we're doing in the church. We're not going about speculating and saying he's coming today or he may come tonight. We don't know when he's coming. Yes, he comes as a thief in the night. The Bible has told us that. We don't know exactly when that will be. But we're to be patiently waiting. It doesn't take us unawares. We're ready whenever he comes. Dr. Cairns again, what a great man of God he was. He said this, "We have the promise of Christ's coming. Others may misrepresent it, but let us take Scripture's sane view of it, knowing that Jesus is coming again, leaving the timing to him. Let us boldly face the forces of apostasy and anti-Christianity until the day of Christ's appearing, until it dawns and the shadows flee away. Let us stand. Let us supplicate. Let us separate in holiness unto God. Let us serve him with undiminished zeal." Our brother certainly did that. What an example he has left for us. May the Lord help us at all times, dear brethren and sisters in Christ, to follow Scripture in regard to the Lord's return, not to be tempted in any way to digress from it. I always look for a key verse, and I've been saying that in this study that we've been going through in the New Testament. And again, I look here at verse 5 of chapter 3. We've been referring to it just now. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, to the patient waiting for Christ." Now, you may have another key verse that you find, but that's my key verse for this study, and I trust the Lord will write it on your hearts. And then the chapter summaries, it's easy, just three chapters. You can find maybe a word or a verse that will link you into each chapter, help you to recall what's being taught there, or maybe a sentence that will remind you of what's been taught there. And may the Lord help us in these days to study his word, to hide his word in our hearts, lest we should sin against the Lord. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Let's come to the place of prayer. As we do so, we think of the words of that hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Thank God we can come to the Lord and bring our burdens to him. Leave them there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight to pray, O God, that thou wilt meet with us, that thou wilt help us ever to hold to the Scripture, hold to the Word of God, not to be turned aside into error. No matter how strong that temptation may be, help us, Lord, to not yield to it, but help us to hold to the tenor and teaching of the Word of God. And we pray, Father, that you'll lead us to that place where we have that patient waiting for the coming of Christ, that we're looking for his return, and we're waiting for it with great patience and great perseverance, and that our eyes are upward, looking for the day when Jesus Christ will come again. Father, teach us from thy word. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged from Scripture even tonight, and to further study these chapters in 2 Thessalonians, and to further study the New Testament, and to get, Lord, a thirst and a hunger for the Word of God. Father, remember thy work in this house and in the church family at this time. We pray for every aspect of the work. We think of the children's work, and most of which hasn't been able to resume again. And Lord, we pray for it, O God, that thou wilt make a way even for the resumption of some of the meetings by some means, O God. And we pray that thou wilt answer prayer. We know that thou art in control, so we leave it all with thee. And we pray, Father, for our Sunday school children and the children of Awana and the children of the children's meeting, and those who came to the moms and tots and all who are linked into the various meetings. We thank you for being able to have youth fellowship again by means of Zoom. And we pray for our youth reach too, those that were contacted through that and brought in through that. And we pray, Father, that you would undertake for the days ahead, Lord, that we might pick up these threads again and be able to reach out, Lord, in days to come to boys and girls and young people and to people in general in our community. And that this church, Lord, will be as a burning and shining light in this district. We remember the families of the church too. Many are under strain and stress with homeschooling of children and education in general and all of the issues just of this pandemic, with loved ones, maybe elderly people in their family trying to care for them, and situations, Lord, that they're facing and challenges. And even we ourselves find we cannot pastor as we normally did. We cannot meet with people in their homes or visit them in hospital, or, Lord, it's a telephone call or a message of some description, but Lord, it's not the same. But Lord, let us understand. And we look to thee that thou wilt oversee thy work, our church committee, our elders, and all of the work of God. And thou wilt meet every need into the future, and that this year, Lord, will be a brighter year, that thou wilt make a way where it seems there is no way. And we pray that thou wilt use the vaccine to help with this pandemic and other means, whatever means thou in thy sovereignty would employ. We look to thee, O God, to answer prayer. And Lord, may people see the hand of God in this thing. And may they turn to thee in repentance and in faith. We cry unto thee, O God, for the moving of God in this land, here in Ballygowan, in this district, in our community, in our families. Those who are not saved, Lord, bring them to Christ. Let them not rest for another night until they come. Those long prayed for, Lord, may be swept into the kingdom. Those that now despise thy word, who had once said amongst us, Lord, have mercy on them. Bring them to Christ. O God, wherever they are in this world, search them out, and grant that they may seek thee and be saved. Meet every need of those who are ill too. Think of Mary. Thank you for bringing her through the surgery. Lord, may it be a full success. Help her into the future and heal her completely. For others too, Eric Barnes' wife, and we pray for healing for her. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw others too close to thee. Those who are going through hard times with mental issues and just the issues of loneliness at this time, and other issues waiting on results, and family members who are going through difficult health issues. Lord, answer prayer. And Lord, we pray for our health service too, and for our doctors and our hospitals and our nurses, and Lord, all in the health professions, Lord, help them. Intervene, Lord, we pray, and answer prayer. Pray for our government, that thou wilt guide them to make the right decisions, and Lord, that thou wilt lead them. Bless our presbytery too, and all of our churches. Lord, thou hast looked down upon thy church, which thou hast purchased with thy blood. And Lord, keep us in these days. Make us usable in a mighty way in thy hands for thy glory. Meet with us as we further wait before thee. Lead us in our homes in prayer. Tonight we pray. May the spirit of prayer and supplication be poured out upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen.